Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And, we're going to have an interesting program today. Possibly, if you hear somebody in the background, my granddaughter's with me today. And so this is her first time in a radio studio, and she's four and a half years old. So she's going to help me out here today, and we're going to get going. Do you want to say hello real quick? You want to say hello? I'm on the radio, so yes. I'm being whispered to. All right. All right. I got to talk here on the radio right now, but we're going to go ahead and open our program here today with the word of prayer, and glad you're with us here. So, all right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the radio today. And we just pray that you would bless the program today and use it for your glory. We just thank you again for the opportunity we have. Help us to be a blessing to somebody. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to get started here with a couple things. Just want to mention here that you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can listen to past programs there as well. And you can also go follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And then on YouTube, we have our YouTube live stream, and you can listen and watch some of the programs on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and just search for Live with Pastor Al. You can find us there. And it's going to be a challenge, I guess, today. But you can find us on YouTube as well. So, but I hope you have it would be a blessing to you here this afternoon. And we're live. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call today as well. We'd love to hear from you. The telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll take your call here as well this afternoon. We're guest-free this week. And I also want to mention, too, that you can visit our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We have our Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. We meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5173 Brecksville Road in Richfield. We'd love to have you come there and visit us. And let's see. Well, we're going to get into a couple of things here today. Tomorrow is the 30th. It's hard to believe. It's the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. Now, a lot of our people are too young to remember much about the Berlin Wall, but the Berlin Wall, of course, was put up after World War II. Remember, World War II, the Soviet Union, led by Russia, of course, and of course the Soviet Union is no more as well, but the Berlin Wall was built to separate East Berlin from West Berlin, and the wall was built to keep not people out of East Berlin and out of East Germany, but to keep people in. And I remember when I was in the Air Force and stationed in England, we had some people that would go into Berlin. There's an Air Force base there, Army Air Force and all had a presence there. And you had to be very careful where you went. And you could go to the towers. I talked to some people who went to the wall, and they looked at the towers where the East German guards would walk. And their main order that they had was if anybody tried to cross from the eastern sector, which was the communist sector, into the western sector, which was the free sector in free Germany, their orders were to shoot them. And in fact, there was a no man's land in a section on the wall where they had landmines, they had automated machine guns, they had dogs, they had all kinds of things. And I remember the thing that I found most interesting is that they actually had guards that were guarding the guards that were guarding the wall. And the reason for that is every once in a while, one of the guards would try to make an escape as well. And I remember there was a couple of escapes while I was there. And I remember one guy, he had a truck, like a panel truck or a delivery truck of some sort. And he had gotten some scrap metal and he armored up the cab of the truck. And he had enough weight in the truck that he was able, when he got in to where it would be noticed that he had all this metal armoring the cab, he just kind of floored it, and he went through, and of course the East German guards were shooting, and the machine guns were taking out the tires, and because it was a heavy truck, he was actually able to shoot through the blockades and actually make it onto the American side, where he had freedom. And one of the saddest things, though, was a case where a guy who was wounded trying to cross the wall, and he didn't make it, but he was in the no man's land. And unfortunately, the only thing that could be done was they were able to reach a medical kit to him to try and help him, but I believe he died there. And so there's a lot of interesting information. But the Berlin Wall came down not too long after President Reagan stood at the Brandenburg Gate and thundered out that famous line, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." And of course, that line, he was told not to say it. They said it would be too incendiary. They told him not to say it. His advisors all said, no, don't do it. And if I remember the story correctly, he took it out of his speech, but when he was giving the speech, he's standing in front of the Brandenburg Gate, and he says, he's addressing then head of the Soviet Union, Mr. Gorbachev, and talking about if he really is serious about freedom and all, that he was to come to the Brandenburg Gate. And then he paused, as only Reagan could do, and the crowd had been cheering, and then he said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And the crowd just erupted in cheers. Probably one of the most memorable lines. And that was one of the things that echoed throughout the gulags of the Soviet Union. Remember the gulags, if you understand your history, or if you remember the Cold War era, the enemies of the state. They were sent off to Siberia in a system of prison camps, oftentimes worked to death and tortured and various things in the prison camps. And you could be sent off for something just as simple as doing what I'm doing right now, making an a radio broadcast, saying things that they don't want you to hear. Thankfully, we've not reached that point in this country. But there's places in the world still where that's a danger. We have freedom in this country. And of course, Veterans Day is coming up, I believe it's Monday. And thank the veterans at your church this Sunday for the freedom that you have to be in church and the freedom that we have to do a radio program like this, to have a radio station like this. But the echo of tear down this wall was echoed. It made it to the gulags, and it was passed from prisoner to prisoner. And it gave them hope. When Reagan had called the Soviet Union an evil empire, which was another statement that he was urged not to make, it echoed through the gulags and gave hope to the prisoners. And, you know, that makes me think of an event that took place a little longer than 30 years ago, some 2,000 years ago nearly now. We had an event that took place. A man by the name of Jesus Christ came into this world. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, God manifest in the flesh. And God took on human form. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfectly sinless life without he did everything that he was supposed to do in accordance to the law, and then he willingly went to the cross where he suffered and died and shed his blood to pay for our sins. He came that the captives can be set free. You know, a lot of veterans served in order that the Soviet Union would be brought to its knees and crumble, and the Berlin Wall would come down. I remember when I got out of the Air Force, and they were saying that the Soviet Union was crumbling, and they were about to take down the Berlin Wall. All these things, it just seemed like it just wasn't possible. It just didn't seem real, but yet it came down, and those who were in prison under communism, and you know, young people out there that are enthralled with socialism and communism and listen to these, you know, these trying to think of a way to say it, these wild-eyed fanatics, whether it's an old coot like Bernie Sanders who seems to be suffering from some kind of mental deficit that he can't see he's old enough to remember, after all, him and his wife honeymooned in the old Soviet Union. Not something that just anybody could do or would want to do. He's been a stooge. I'm going to use a term that's a historical term. It's not an invented term. The Soviet leaders, the Soviet, I think going back to Stalin and Lenin, invented a term for people in the West living in free countries that they could use to advance their causes. They called them useful idiots. Well, Bernie Sanders is exactly that. Again, that's a historical term. Go ahead and Google it. A useful idiot. And he should know better. That's why I question his mental veracity, his mental ability. If he could see the Soviet Union having been there and see the hope that was in the eyes of those people as they started to tear down that wall, and to see the thousands that came streaming out of communism, out of East Germany. And you're saying, well, East Germany, what's that? Well, that's East Germany and West Germany were reunited after the wall came down and became one country, Germany. And they were able to see the hope and the freedom that was in the eyes of these people. I read a quote. It said, communists built the wall and capitalists tore it down. And then you got these young skulls full of mush like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a representative from New York City, who cannot understand and doesn't want to look at history to see the evils of communism and socialism. And when I say communism and socialism, you have to remember Russia was the head of the USSR, that stood for the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Socialism and capitalism are two faces of the same coin. They always say communism is socialism with jackboots on. And remember, they fought the Nazis, and we get people being accused of being Nazis. But remember, the Nazis were the National Socialist Party. They were communists of a different stripe. And even Mussolini, the head of the fascists in Italy, he was the editor of the communist paper, the socialist paper, called Avante, which meant forward. Think of any recent president that used the term forward for his political campaign. Well, people long to be free, and using the analogy of people coming out of communism, coming out of socialism, even going back to World War II when the war ended and they opened up the prison camps and people welcomed the Americans and the British and the Canadians and all, and the Australians, the Allied forces, as they came and liberated towns, and they were crying out for freedom. And this goes to the human heart. But more importantly, the freedom we need is the freedom that comes from Christ. You know, in the Gospel of John, I want to turn here, and in John chapter 8, we have a passage here that starts in John chapter 8 with verse number 31 here. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And then he says this in verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, elsewhere in the Old Testament, the Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." I believe it's in Hosea. But Jesus continued on talking about freedom here. Jesus continued on in verse number 33, the Jews answered him. They said, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And Jesus came, the Bible says, to set the captives free. We're in bondage to sin without Christ. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're in bondage to sin. I remember a young lady came to our church one time many years ago. This is probably close to 20 years ago now. And she was not very old, maybe about 18, 19. I don't even think she was 20. And she had all kinds of problems in addition to drugs and alcohol and different things. And she sat in the back of our church, and she had a pet boa constrictor with her that she had under her jacket, and she starts playing with it during the service and everything, and she's sitting back there and is talking with her afterwards, and she says, "I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I'm not going to let anybody order me around. I do what I want to do." And it was so sad because we tried to reason with her and tell her that she was in bondage to sin and that Jesus Christ simply wanted to set her free, just like he said here, Jesus said that you're the servant of sin. And he said, if you know the truth shall make you free. She just could not understand or grasp this. And the sad thing was, she wasn't free. She was in bondage to her sin. I guarantee when the need for another drink or the need for more drugs, another hit, got strong enough, here's this young girl who was going and dancing in it wasn't a ballet dance, let me put it that way, in a bar in a nearby town. And she was dancing and even engaging, she didn't admit it, but I suspect from what she was saying, engaging in prostitution to get the money to satisfy her addiction. You know, when that need for alcohol and that need for another hit of her drugs became too great, she showed just how free she was, and she was willing to essentially prostitute herself for her master, which was the drugs and alcohol. And yet she sat there and said, "I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do." No, she was letting sin tell her what to do because she was a servant of sin. And that's what Jesus said to the Jews here. They said to them, we're Abraham's seed. We're the descendants of Abraham. We're the Jewish people. We're the chosen people. And these are Jews which the Bible says believed on him. He's talking to them. Verse 31, remember, said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. He's talking to Jews who they appear to believe that he was the Messiah. And he's saying they need to know and understand the truth, and that the truth would make them free. And as he's talking to them, he's trying to reason with them and help them to understand that they're in bondage to sin. They said, "We're Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye shall be made free?" Well, they weren't in bondage to a man. They were in bondage to sin. And as a consequence, Jesus said, "Whoso, verily, verily, I say unto you." Now, let me pause there for just a minute, because as we're looking in the King James Version of the Bible, here's an advantage that you have. If you're reading a King James Version of the Bible, you'll see these words, "you" and "ye" and "your." They start with the letter Y. And then there's another group of words like "thee" and "thou" and "thine" that start with a TH. There's a reason for that. People say, "Well, it's too confusing. I don't like that archaic English." Well, you know what? That was archaic in 1600s, because the English language was moving to losing the distinction between a plural and a singular personal pronoun. And so they reached back to the English of a couple hundred years prior, back to the 1400s, when the English language distinguished between singular and personal pronouns. And here's how they did it. If it was a singular pronoun, personal pronoun, they use the TH form, thee, thou, and thine. If it was a plural personal pronoun, they used the Y form, you and ye and your. And we know then that he's speaking to these in general. He says, I say unto you, he's addressing this group of Jews who are believing that he's the Messiah. Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, meaning whoever of your group. If any of you commit sin, you're the servant of sin. And that's what was happening with this young woman that visited our church some 20 years ago. I have no idea whatever happened to her. We prayed for her. I hope she finally realized the truth and put her faith in Christ. It would be wonderful to know that. But she certainly was on the wrong track. She was the servant of sin. She thought that she was doing her own thing. She thought that nobody was telling her what to do. But you know, when you're the servant of sin, you know who's directing you? It's the devil. The devil is directing you. He's pulling the strings and he's making you dance. She was like, and many people just like her, are like the marionette, the puppet that has the strings attached to it. And when the devil pulls the string, they dance. They begin to dance. And they do what the devil wants them to do. You know, it was kind of clear from talking to her that she did not dance in the bars because she chose to, that she did not prostitute herself because she chose to. She did it because she was the servant of sin. And whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. Well, you don't have to be there forever. Jesus said, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. You can be set free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And then he said, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, a lot of them didn't want to believe that. He said a little further down in verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. They believe him not. And that's the same thing that happens today. Well, Jesus is truth. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, unto the Father, but by me. Jesus Christ is the truth. Further on in John chapter 17, the Bible says, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He's talking to the Father. So what does that mean? That means that not only is Jesus truth, but God's word is truth. You know, the Bible will set us free. Jesus Christ came to set us free. When you know the truth shall make you free. Have you realized the truth today? Do you know that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God? If you've sinned, you're the servant of sin. You're in bondage. The devil's your master, but you can be set free. Jesus Christ came to set you free. That's why he's here. And if you believe that Jesus Christ came and that he went to the cross and he shed his blood to pay for your sins, if you'll confess your sin and believe in your heart that Jesus paid for your sin with his own blood on the cross, the Bible says he shed his blood to pay for our sins. The Bible says he was buried. He was dead. He died for us. He died for you. He died for me. He was buried. He rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. If you'll confess your sin, you don't have to name all of them. You don't even remember all of your sins. I don't remember all of my sins. There's sins that we do that we don't even know that we're sinning. You can't confess them all. But what you do is you confess that you're a sinner to God. God already knows it. It's mostly so that he knows you're admitting it to yourself. And once you do that, you put your faith in Christ. And guess what? The Son will make you free, and ye shall be free indeed. He breaks the bondage the devil has on you. He forgives you of your sin. He adopts you into his family. You become God's child. And then the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in your heart. And you know what the Spirit of God is called? Well, John 14 in verse 6, Jesus called himself the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. But in verse 17, he said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In the next chapter, in verse 26, it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus Christ is truth. The Word of God is truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Trust Christ as your Savior today. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.